Hey guys, this is A Hero for Epileptics, your co-founder Michelle Fiacco. I just wanted to say that it's been a while since I've been on a podcast. That's due to some things that's been going on, just with other work craziness, life craziness, you know, with COVID. Bruno's been hanging on. He's been doing okay. So we're actually 1 year anniversary of his RNS surgery, which is very exciting. We see some changes in him since the surgery started, last year, since we had the surgery. So, you know, some improvements. We try not to be, you know, I try to be conservative when I talk about his surgery and how he's doing, only because we don't want to like get people too excited. We don't want to get too excited because we want to see what happens with the surgery and what's going on with him. So we don't want to like overhype it when we're not 100% sure about where we're going to go and what's going to happen and things like that. So, you know, we just try to not talk about it too much, but also other people have come up to me in the family that we've seen, which has been very minimal. And they've noticed a change in Bruno, like he's able to hold a conversation longer without having a seizure or any seizure. He's able to stay awake longer, to go places, which has also been very minimal because of COVID. There's a lot of small things. You know, he's still having a lot of seizures. He still has seizures during the day. He still has seizures throughout the day. Definitely the bathroom. And this is for a lot of, different disorders. The bathroom is like, and just in general, the bathroom is like the most dangerous place in your home because, you know, you do not have a choice. You have to go in the bathroom, you know, to use a toilet, to shower, to use a sink. And all those things can lead to, you know, people getting hurt, slipping, there's water involved, you know, so he seems to still have issues in there. We've been starting to wear, we made these Hero for Epileptic sunglasses like maybe 2 years ago. So we actually started wearing a pair of those in the bathroom and in the shower, and that seemed to help. Now his doctor had recommended we try goggles in the shower. The goggles didn't work. This way the water wouldn't go in his eyes and he wouldn't close them, because closing his eyes is definitely one of the reasons he has seizures when he closes his eyes. And we tested it with the RNS. Every time he closed his eyes, the chart would jump up, and then when he opened them again, it would go back down. So we do know that that's a trigger, but the goggles didn't help because the light from like the overhead lights, you know, we have two lights above the sink. They're pretty high up. They don't go directly in your face. The bulbs are faced left and right, so they go more towards the wall, but they are pretty bright. And I even put like a little bit duller bulb, but it's a bathroom, so you kind of need more light in the bathroom. You can't really kind of fool around with that. You do need light in there. So we do keep that, a little bit more lit up. So, you know, the goggles didn't help. He was still having a seizure. He had a seizure pretty much when he put them on, or it was still the same seizure. So it didn't really help. I've noticed a lot of the times right when he sits in the shower, because we have it set up as a spa, and I mentioned this, I will do a video eventually to show you guys how we have the bathroom secure, like we didn't when we lived in the other apartment, how we set it up for safety, which could be helpful to anyone who either has been diagnosed with epilepsy or has a family or friend that has it, that wants to, you know, get a better idea of some of the safety tips. But we definitely did set up the bathroom of safety. We have safety bars in there. There's one literally by the door. So if you need to use it for, you know, if he has a seizure while he's like on the toilet, let's say, you know, he can hold it. Sometimes I use it when my legs are sore from working out. I hold it to like get up or down if I'm like sitting on top of the toilet, either sitting on there, you know, for bathroom reasons, or sometimes I put the lid down and sometimes I just sit there when I'm like keeping an eye on Bruno when he's doing certain things in the bathroom, like shaving. And we have two shower bars in the shower. There's one by the sliding door to get in and out, which I use as well because there's nothing to hold on to. And the bar for the towel, that's not secure. That's not for holding or grabbing. That's not made for that. So it can come out of the wall and you can get seriously injured. And then we have one literally in above the tub that I use, you know, like when you're shaving or when you're tired, sometimes you just want to have something to hold on to. And if the shower, let's say, is even a little bit slippery, you know, at least you have something that you can like grab quickly. And when I even squeegee, like we squeegee the doors, I squeegee the shower every night when I shower. I like to have something to hold on my balance, like just to have a little more leverage. So, and it helps Bruno because he holds on, he uses all of them. So it's multifunctional. And even as a person like myself who doesn't have a medical condition, like something that's like what Bruno has, like a daily struggle that's, you know, more of an extreme medical condition, I do use them daily. I use them in the other apartment, I use them here, because they are very helpful to get in and out of the shower, that to use in the bathroom, you know, when you're tired, working all day. It's very helpful to have these things in there. So I always recommend people keeping them. Even my brother and future sister-in-law, we had a really long bar in the stand-up shower that we had at the last apartment that they actually moved into. They kept it in there because I even said to my future sister-in-law, you know, it's good to have when you're tired. It's something to grab onto in case it is slippery. You never know if there's like, you know, you get too much soap on the floor and, you know, you don't want to fall. And also the bar is good when you're like shaving your leg or something. Just, you know, you can hold on to it. You can even use it to put your leg on or whatever you want to do. So, you know, she's like, yeah, we're going to keep it in there because it is something that's helpful than just having, I'd rather have something to grab onto than nothing at all. And then the rest of the shower we have set up, we have a pillow cushion. I have a hook on the wall, it's like a plastic, one of those 3M ones you can stick to the wall that's like, you can have it temporary. And then I have the mat at the bottom of the shower, which also is cushioned, and it kind of suctions to the bottom of the tub. And it has a part you can put up a little higher. So in case Bruno has a seizure, I have like double padding by his head. And you know, when he sits in the shower, usually he has a seizure within like, as soon as he sits down or within like a minute or two. If he's gonna have one, it's usually around then. And then I also keep in the shower on the ledge where the we have a small window in the shower. I put a little foam. We have one of those stress balls because if he does have a seizure, sometimes I hand it to him and he starts squeezing it, and like that actually helps with the seizure as well, which I know, you know, there's different techniques for testing, and it's like an ongoing process of testing, you know. So there's fails, there's wins, and sometimes even if it's a small win, that gives us hope that we can try some more things. So a lot of trial and error. There's really no wrong thing you can try as long as it's safe, and as long as the person's safe. So, and I stay in the bathroom with him when he's showering. I leave the shower door open a little bit in case I have to grab or, you know, move him or something like that. But usually he's been a lot safer sitting. You know, yes, having glass doors, we have to be extra careful, but if we had shower curtains, like we did in the other shower, there was times where he would fall out or, you know, like, you know, grab the curtain and everything like that. It's harder for him to really grab. He doesn't really have anything to grab onto, like glass or anything like that. So it actually is a little safer, and he's sitting on the ground. So it's not like he's falling off a chair or he's doing that kind of stuff. We did try to put a safety chair in the shower, but because it gets like shallow, the inside of the tub is not like a straight tub. It kind of goes down. It's like a downward sloping tub, so you can't really put a chair in there safely. He can't really get into it safely and get out of it safely. It's not like you can just like kind of walk, sit on it, and then get up. But I do, for in the future when we do renovate our bathroom or another bathroom, I do want to have a bench built into the shower where he can just sit on that. Or as we're doing now, it's been really working well for him to just be able to sit on the floor on the mat. So like I said, it's set up like a spa. He's not just sitting on like the tub floor. He has a mat, and it's nice. So then when I shower, before I shower, I take out that pillow, because it's not meant to stay in the shower and get wet, too wet, but you can put in the wash machine because it is made out of material. And then the mat at the bottom of the shower, what I do is I'll rinse it off, get rid of whatever soap and stuff and whatever hair, whatever. I rinse it off, clean it, and then I hang it up. And then once it's dry, I fold it up and put it back in the closet. So it's very seamless. We have, because this apartment, you know, the bathroom is not as big. It's like a normal, it's a normal size bathroom though. It's not really meant for like multiple people at once. So when I'm in there with him, thank God we're not big people. You know, he's a big guy, but he's not like a, like wide, you know, he's more tall than wide. And I'm, you know, I'm pretty average height, 5'5", and weight wise, you know, I lost quite a bit of weight even working out from COVID with, you know, not much else to do besides work out, kind of that kind of thing. So I don't really take up that much room in the bathroom, but it's important for me to be in there. So we maneuver, move the chair a certain way for me to get in and out of certain spots. I move him around a little bit. So we make it work. You know, we make it work. And we still have the padding, not as much as we did in the other place because the sink is a little different. It's like a floating type of sink and it has, the sink is just different. So what I do have is, and the cushion on the sink won't work because it doesn't stick. So what I do have is all the corners of the drawers of the cabinet, which is wood, I have those all cushioned and it matches the color. It's all brown, so it looks like it's part of the design. And then I have a piece of cushion over the front of the, there's like a little wooden radiator cover in there. So I have just a little piece of cushion there. So in case something happens, at least if he falls on that directly or he is hitting into it with his hand or something, at least there's cushion there. So it's a little, it's different. We don't have as, it's a different setup. The other bathroom was much bigger, like I said. The sink was longer. There was like a whole counter. So I really had to pad the whole thing and all the corners in case he went under, because there was like a vanity area that he could like fall under there. There's a lot more places for him to like fall into or like hit into. Here there's not as many because it's also not as big of a room. There's not as many places for him to fall or go or grab. So in some ways it's safer, but in some ways I wish the bathroom was just slightly bigger so I would have more room for maneuvering. But it's fine. Like we make it work. It's probably better that he can't like, you know, there's not enough room for him to like fall on the side of the toilet or something like that. So, you know, so we're just very careful. I'm in the bathroom with him for pretty much whenever he uses it right now until we see more improvements with his epilepsy. And we're still waiting on also, the other CBD oil, which is more of a prescription. We do the Charlotte's Web right now. He's on a 100 milliliter version of it. 60 milliliter, 100 milliliter, I can't remember exactly. But he's on the whatever the highest dosage they have. And he does that at night. And his medication. So we haven't lowered any meds yet. The doctor's waiting to see like what happens. So every time we adjust something on the RNS device, we can't also then change medication because we're only trying to do one variable at a time. So we could see like, did that one change make an improvement? And then we can see next time, do we want to make a medication change and see if that and whatever RNS device changes were made before, do those things combined help him? So it's a, like I said, it's a process and it's a long-term process. So we're not in a rush. The Dr. Kiznicki, Bruno's neurologist, said that, you know, he sees patients showing improvements and changes for 2+ years. So we're only a year in. As of this past week. So we have a long ways to go. It's a process, but you know, we're happy again that Bruno was able to get the surgery before COVID really shut everything down, because he would have had to wait even longer. And you know, he would have been more upset about it, because like at least now we have some kind of not just hope, but we feel like, you know, we're turning a corner. And then last year also during COVID, not that we were planning on it, we bought a condo in the area where we live. We were waiting to do that for quite a while. We were trying to see where his health was going, and we finally said, listen, we can't go up this many stairs anymore. We have to, you know, let's purchase something. And our goal was to purchase some property before we both turned 40. And that's what we did. So we succeeded on that goal. This way, the condo is like a starting point for us. And then we can see from here, now that we went through the process of a mortgage, and you know, for here, you have to deal with like the board and fill out paperwork and stuff like that, which is great. And we'll see next time, do we want to stay in this like condo co-op corporation type environment where there's maintenance. We just pay for the maintenance every month. So there's things, certain things are taken care of outside of the apartment, and inside even, like, they take care of certain things. Or do we want to see if we can buy a house? And that also is dependent on Bruno's health, where we are, you know, how the world kind of heals itself after COVID right now, once everyone's vaccinated, and then people are starting to see where they're, if they're going back to offices for work and where those might be located. So I was in the city. I miss the city. I would love to go back to the city one day, but that might take a while to get back on track. So even if we have, like, a temporary office space, let's say in Long Island where we live, or like in another suburban area, I'm okay with that for now, you know, just to kind of slowly get back into that zone. Right now I'm just working from home 5 days a week. Sometimes it's easier because I don't have to travel. Sometimes it's harder because, you know, you're kind of more stuck inside. I've been trying to do more walking during the day, even if it's just like 15-20 minutes, because in the city I would do that, go get a coffee, go get this, go get that, and head back to work. So I'm trying to do that here as well, so I have that same feel and clear my head after lunch. And Bruno and I, we make sure that unless I have a meeting or something crazy, we have breakfast together, which is usually quick. It's either like cereal, or I make him an oatmeal, or I make yogurt parfaits with like protein and stuff, or you know, order bagels or whatever it is, we have it together. And then lunch, you know, usually we have lunch together too. So I'll make Bruno his sandwich or whatever he, or if we want to order food, some days we order food. So it feels kind of like, you know, it's more normal, and we like to support a lot of small businesses around us. And that's another important thing. If you have small businesses that you like, so many have closed, and it's sad. It's heartbreaking because, you know, these places, they were thriving when there was no pandemic, and now they're kind of on the verge of closing, or they've closed. So we really want to support the businesses around us. So we try to order, you know, there's an Italian place we like, there's a Greek place we like, there's a couple of different places, there's a couple of diners that we really like, and things like that. There's a Thai place, sushi, you know, like if there's places that you were ordering from before that you know you can trust, Chinese food, things like that, that you know you can trust, you know the people, you know who's working there, you know that they're, obviously they're clean if they were, you know, if they were your go-to before, you know they're clean. You know, it's really important to support them so they do exist after this whole thing. You know, even if you can't go there to eat, and I miss going out to eat as well, but we order food, we make it set up in the, we have a little dining area, a little kind of place where we have our table and things, so like a little dining room area. We have an open platform, you know, living room, dining area, kitchen. It's very open, so, you know, we have everything kind of designated, like, you know, here's where you walk in, you take your shoes off, there's a bench, there's a rug for your shoes, or a mat if it's raining or snowing, and then you walk in, and then the couch is kind of, it's almost like a little hallway area. We have the couch blocked a certain way, so you have to take your shoes off and everything, and then you come in, and then you can kind of go on the rug, sit down, sit at the table, do whatever, so it's more relaxing that way. We have it set up that way so that it is more like homey, and we don't do shoes in the house. We don't do shoes in the house for a number of reasons. A, we're both very OCD. I'm exceptionally OCD, and I'm okay with that. I grew up like that. All my family's like that. It's just the way we are. So we don't wear shoes in the house. Plus, I like to lay on the rug sometimes. I fall asleep there. Sometimes I get comfortable there, and I want it to be clean. And then Bruno, with his epilepsy on top of that, like, he needs somewhere that is safe, and he needs safe places to fall if he falls, or lay down. So it has to, we want it to be clean. So we have rugs that are double rugs, pretty much. We have the cushion underneath, the rug on top, and it's very, like, safe for the both of us. So, you know, we do make sure things are clean and safe. And, you know, we have one of those kind of, not a, like a Roomba robot that does the automatic cleaning. So I put that on every couple of days. I have the big vacuum, but this actually helps me so I don't have to, like, go around vacuuming all day long. And it also gets underneath stuff that I can't get to. So it actually is very helpful for us. And it makes my cleaning a lot easier. So I really appreciate that we did get that. I got that actually for Christmas. It was like a gift to myself, an Apple Watch and the vacuum thing. So Apple Watch I use daily, especially for working out, running, and so forth. And the vacuum is like helpful for both of us, because even Bruno can just like turn it on and do like a spot cleaning if he like say he drops something and I don't have to be involved. He'll just pick up the remote, do it, and put it back, and it goes right back on its little charging station. So yeah, so stuff like that, like the little things in life are helpful. You know, we didn't get anything crazy expensive. I found a really good price on one. There was like holiday sales, and it was literally did a lot the same things that the more expensive one do, but without it being so expensive, because I'm like, I'm not spending $600 on a little vacuum thing. That's not where I'm at in life. I'm not going to do that. I don't like to be wasteful. I'm very thrifty, even if it doesn't even matter. If I could be making, I told my husband, I could be making millions of dollars and I'm still going to be thrifty. That's how these guys, Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, all these rich people, Elon Musk, you know, they made money because they save money. And there are certain things they're super stingy on, like that they won't spend their money on. They can donate a lot of it to charity and this and that, but there are certain things that they won't spend it on. And that's how you make money. You have to save it to make it. You have to build a portfolio, you know, with stocks, savings, and all investments and things like that. And that's how you make money. So we're really kind of in that vein as well. And also, now that we're still in the pandemic, you know, I really don't want to be wasteful. Like, you know, I upgrade certain things in the house. Like, I'm like, oh, I want to get a different rug, or I want to get this or that. And I get a couple of things a month. I don't need to like buy everything at once, because we don't need to. It's not like it's super, you know, oh my God, I need it now. Like, I want to get a new garbage can for the kitchen. But there's really nothing wrong with ours. I just want you to kind of, you know, after a while they start getting old, even though it's clean, it doesn't smell, there's nothing wrong with it. You know, it's really expensive to buy a stainless steel, garbage can in the kitchen. It's so crazy that a garbage can can cost you like $100. And I'm like, but garbage is going in it. So I'm just like, you know what, that can wait, because I didn't find one that I like and I'm not spending $100 on it because I think it's ridiculous. You know, like certain things like that I get annoyed about. And even like the Apple Watch I bought, let's say, I use it for working out because all my Fitbits, they kept breaking. They weren't, you know, I didn't buy a really expensive one, so they always broke. They started working after a while. The band would start coming off. They would get all, you know, they were hard to clean for my, you know, if you have one and you love it, great. But for me, it wasn't like working for my needs anymore, and it just, the battery didn't last on all the ones I had. So, you know, I really needed something else. So I ended up getting the Apple Watch, but I didn't get the newest model because I'm not spending, again, $600. I bought one of the older models, but it has the upgraded software. So it's literally the same thing. It does all the same things. It's hooked up to all my physical activities and my heart rate, which is important because I have a heart condition. So, you know, so that's really it. So anyways, you know, we're in the new year. There's a lot going on. You know, we all just have to be positive. And I just wanted to say we're back. We're going to be doing a lot more stuff for Hero for Epileptics. I got to get back on track with that. Things got a little off the rails with what's been going on. And then the year has just been crazy with moving and work and this and that. I feel like I kind of went off track myself. I've been posting stuff here and there, but we really have to get back into the marketing and, you know, fundraising and figuring out what we're doing. And hopefully by the time the holidays come, we'll be able to do like the holiday fairs again, because that was really a place where we met people, you know, gave out business cards and also raised money for the organization. But if you want to donate to us and support us, heroforepileptics.org/donate. And there's a bar on top of our homepage, if you go to our website, that even has the link to our fundraising page. And then even in the nav bar on our website, we have the donation page. So if you want to make a donation, you want to set up a Facebook fundraiser, we thank everyone who does that. We've raised quite a bit of money, a couple of $1,000 just from that. So yeah, so we're going to really up our game this year and, you know, see what we want to do with the doctor. If the sunglass thing works, next time we go to the doctor, we want to give the doctor some sunglasses to give to the other patients for them to test, because Bruno wears them in the shower, he wears them in the bathroom. So we want to see if like other people are also helped there. And anything with his brain scans, we've been doing that every day. All that data goes back to the doctor and to the service that produced this RNS product, which, hold on, I want to give you the name, Neurospace. They get all that data, and Bruno wants them to be able to use that for research and to see if we can find better ways to treat people with epilepsy and other neurological disorders. So yeah, we look forward to keeping up the convo with everybody. And again, follow us on all the social media channels. Please listen to our podcast. If you like the podcast, please, you know, on Apple or even on here, just, you know, let people know that you are following us and like the podcast as well, because it helps us be able to be put on more platforms and be able to spread more of the message about epilepsy. And remember, 1 in 26 people in the U.S. have epilepsy or a diagnosis, will be diagnosed with it, which is a pretty big number. And there's over 3.2 million people in the U.S. alone with epilepsy, 65 million worldwide. So, you know, it's a lot of people. So we really want to keep the message going about epilepsy, and that it's not something that shouldn't be talked about. It should be out there, talked about, you know, keep the conversation going and so forth. So thank you and have a great night. And I'll be talking to you again soon. Let me know how you guys are holding up even. Send us a message right here. I will listen to every one of them and I will respond pretty quickly. I do that on our YouTube page as well. I respond, you know, pretty immediately. So, you know, I track all that stuff. So I'm the VP of marketing and communications for the organization. So I definitely look at, well, VP, I'm actually pretty much the CMO, let's just say that, because I do take care of all of our marketing operations. So, you know, just let me know. It's been a long week, so my brain's a little shot, but yeah, just post whatever you need to, ask questions. We do have materials we can send you or give you digitally. There's some stuff you can download on our site about helping someone with epilepsy or what to do if someone has a seizure. So we do have some things like that available, resources and so forth. So yeah, just go to our website, aheroforepileptics.org, and we look forward to speaking with you. Thank you.